Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Welcome to Off the Cut episode 83. We're up in Toronto. Today is known as Tuesday, September 26th, 2023. But here in Ohio, today is respectfully dedicated to the food of the day. It's once again not a food. It's an event. It's breakfast. But I mean, this website is trash that we get this stuff. But
look, they had to come up with 365 items. I sympathize with the people who make the list.
It would be the worst job in the world to have. Yeah. But we've got a special guest with us tonight. As a content creator, one of the biggest struggles we have is finding the time and ability to create captivating video. But we never run out of time to talk about how much we hate the Green Series podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Anyway, tonight we brought on a professional video editor to talk about what he sees on the opposite side of things and help answer some questions that you might have about how it all works. Now, this is usually the part of the podcast where I have some snarky intro, but Zach, because you know Bryson way better than I do, why don't you welcome our next guest?
Well, everybody listening at home, this is Bryson Roy. Bryson Roy and I have been working together for what, like the past 3 years? Two years. And he's been behind the scenes on basically every single YouTube video that I've made. He's been editing, he's been doing graphics, special effects, color correcting. There we go. All the grisly stuff that goes on behind the scenes he takes care of. So Eric and I thought it would be really interesting to have him come on as and be a guest and, you know, kind of talk about what he sees from the opposite side of things. Because, you know, it's really easy to be in the shop and just press record and kind of do your thing. But then trying to condense, I mean, the project we're working on right now, Bryson, what did I give you? Like 4 to 5 hours of footage?
This one was, it's still like 3 to 4 hours or something. The last one was like 7 hours. So it varies. It could be short, it could be long, but yeah, we try to aim for that like 20-minute mark, 20 to 25-ish minutes.
Yes.
So cutting down, you know, hours and hours, it can take a bit, right?
But Exactly. And there's a real skill to it. It's not the easiest thing in the world. It's you have to have a lot of judgment about what to keep and what not to keep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So I guess the first question I know people are going to have is, you know, somebody is getting started out on YouTube. You know, they're using their phone, their camera, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They have a myriad of clips and then they start editing and they're like, oh my gosh, this is a nightmare. I want to hire a video editor.
Mm-hmm.
What does that maybe look like? And I'm sure you have a, you know, depending on who you work with, but how would you typically like onboard somebody or coach them or like be like, hey, here's what I can do for you. Like the pros of having a video editor.
Oh, I know Zach can probably speak on this. The big thing is he has more time to film videos and stuff because I'm doing a lot of like the behind the scenes, like grunt work where I cut down like the hours and hours of footage, right? Yep. So he doesn't have to worry as much about that. And with the setup that me and Zach have, we have like a linked like server that he has set up. So I can literally save the project and say, hey, Zach, pop in, take a look, see if you like that. And then he can tell me what he likes. I can change it, or he can even just change it if he wants himself. So that's a really good setup that we have going.
Yeah.
And we're pretty collaborative on it too. Like Bryson will a lot of the time work for a few days on a project and then he'll say, hey, Zach, take a look at it. I'll take a look at it. I'll make notes. I'll make changes. And then based on what I say, he'll go back in and finish it off. And, you know, we maybe do a few rounds of stuff like that and try and hone in on it, but it's a very collaborative process, which is good for me because I like being involved the whole way through.
But
100%, you hit it the nail on the head right off the bat. The biggest thing for me is that I don't have to be editing anymore. Like a month ago, you went on vacation. You drove across the country, right?
Yeah.
And I had to edit my first video start to finish. I haven't had to do that in a while. And it really reminded me of how much it slows things down. Because I basically, like, it, you know, it kind of screwed up my schedule there. Like, we had a good rhythm going. And then I was like, oh, right, I had to edit this thing. And it's like, I can't just finish a project and jump right back into the shop to build something else. So it made me appreciate just how much you do.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So because Bryson, a lot of people who listen to our show are people who are like just getting started in content creation or aspire or just, you know, are just interested about knowing the nuts and bolts behind all the stuff that they watch on YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How much time, like let's say Zach films a whole project, right? And he sends you, you know, all the files on the server, whatever you download. It's like, what, 5 to 10 hours worth of footage, whatever. How many hours would you anticipate goes into from very start to the video being finished? Like after you have the files? I know it's a range. It depends on the video.
Yeah, it's, like it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of tough because it really does depend on like what's in the video and everything about that. With Zach's videos, it's pretty nice because it's very chronological. He has it all planned out very well. So his are very easy, opposed to like if we were shooting like a full build of like a deck or something, which I've done in the past, and then there's like 10 hours of footage and there's no plan to it, you know?
Right.
You just kind of like got to make it work somehow. So that'll take longer in some ways than what Zach is doing. And then also depending how long the video needs to be, right? So there's so many variables that come into play. It's hard to like narrow down a specific number of hours, right?
Is it harder to edit a short video versus a long video? So if you're in a situation like that where you have 10 hours of footage and you need to cut together like 3 1-minute reels from that, and they had to be like sizzling hot. Is that harder than a 20-minute YouTube video?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, it's actually way more difficult to cut down a video to like a minute than it is to make a 20-minute thing, because you have to pick the best parts, and there could be so many good parts, right?
Yeah.
So it's really finding like the golden shots of all the footage that you have and trying to condense it into a 1 minute. That's definitely super difficult to do in a lot of cases.
Whereas I think with like a 20-minute video, it's like you don't have to find the golden shots, like you're saying, right? It's more like you're trying to tell a story, and if, you know, one shot is slightly out of focus, it's like, okay, well, it doesn't hurt the overall narrative. You can keep going with it. Yeah. Like I remember that Infinity ad that we did last year. I think we probably had, you know, 3-4 hours of footage for this 1 minute clip. And we both spent like days and days refining that versus, you know, standard YouTube video. It's just less picky.
Yeah. And it changes with the brand too, right? But
was this the one, Bryson, where you were hanging out the window filming something and Zach's we can't post that for the behind the scenes shot?
Well, we tried to actually. It was funny. I was like, there's no way they're going to. Sometimes I do this with brands. I'll like include clips that I know they're going to reject just so they have something to like give a little bit of input on. Mm. And there was this one clip of Bryson hanging out the window of this SUV trying to see if the camera was still attached to the side of the SUV. I was like, no way they're going to allow it. But it was like such a good, like, I don't know. It was like fun. It was a nice little clip. But I was like, there's no way they're going to allow it. But I have to just try.
That didn't end up making it in, did it?
No, it didn't. They had the first round of revisions, and then they like came back the second time, and they're like, "We got to get rid of this clip where he's hanging at the side of the window." Damn it!
Yeah, I mean, it's fair though on their end, I guess.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I can see where they're coming from on that one.
So talk a little bit more. I know you have, you know, Zach sends you video clips, you edit them, and help create videos, help create compelling stories. But you also are a videographer.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I would say I'm more of an editor than a videographer, but it's kind of like I dip my toes into everything in terms of the content stuff, because I went to school at Loyalist College and they do like overall everything. They even go into TV, which I was never really into, the live stuff, like cutting cameras and all that. You know, it's a bit more stressful in that situation for sure.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, no, yeah, but like- I, I guess I'm just more of a video editor, you know, than
for sure. But you've come out, you've come out to film with me probably
definitely
like dozen times or something like that over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I like holding a camera for sure. It's just like when I compare myself to some of the other guys in the company that we started, specifically Sean, he's got like camera ADHD. Like he is thinking like 20 shots ahead. He's like, we could do this, we could do that, we could do this move, we could, you know, he's doing all that stuff. And I'm like, I'll just point here and it's a good shot, it's usable, you know. I'm not thinking of all the extra stuff that he does, that makes things a bit more, you know, cinematic and all that too, right?
Well, I think that's maybe a good point to transition into. So you don't just edit for me, you edit for other people, but you also have your production crew, the Unbound Vision. So tell us how that, how it all fits together, I guess.
How, like, editing and who does what and all that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so you guys do, not only do you do content creation for yourself, like you have your YouTube channel and you have the videos you make, but you're also out there filming weddings, filming commercials, doing commercial work, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, the nice part about it is everybody went to the same program, so we all have that, like, all-around knowledge of everything, so. We kind of have things that each of us specialize a bit more in and have a bit more interest in. Like I would say editing for me, Sean again, camera. So there's the idea that if the person who specializes in that can do it, we're going to put them in that position. If they can't, we can all do everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the nice part about it. But yeah, like again, I think the biggest struggle for us right now is we're starting a company, but we all live like 2 to 3 hours away from each other. So whenever we're shooting, like we all meet up at the location and then we're like, all right, let's do this. Right. And it's kind of like, it'd be nice if we had a home base to work.
Yeah, definitely. Right? But
definitely. How big is your team? How many people do you have?
There's 5 of us. Yeah. One of them is my brother.
Okay.
And he went to the same program. Yeah.
Now, how is it? What's that like working with a family member?
That's not too bad. Me and Nick, again, his name is Nick, sorry. He and I get along very well. We're very similar people, so it's not that bad. It's not like we've ever butt heads too much growing up or anything. And we're interested in the same stuff, obviously. We like pick the same career path and everything, right? So we definitely get along. If anything, it makes it easier because we already have that, like, you know, that link to each other, right? So
right. And you can give each other a hard time, but like you've been doing it, you know, your entire life, so it's just like, it's not just like, man, I got this guy at work who's a real jerk. Right.
I mean, I will say that about him more than anyone. Yeah. Oh man, screw this guy. Yeah.
So I see that you've got our buddy Mark from Remarkable Works. He got his hat on. Are there other prominent people in our space that or maybe listeners would know that you work with besides Zach and Mark?
I have worked with, not like consistently, but I've worked with Annex Works in Toronto. They do a lot of like sculptures and stuff. And more recently we've been working with Gord at Wood Bully.
Oh yeah.
And he's been doing like Beat the Bully is his one show that he does. And we did that. I think we did a couple of those episodes. I wasn't really on the second one, but those ones are pretty fun too. We did kind of get into this little niche, and I think that's thanks to Zach a lot of the time, with, you know, like contractors and woodworking and stuff.
Yeah.
It was funny. So I think nice. Bryson emailed me a couple of years ago, and at the time I wasn't making any money from YouTube. So I don't know if I responded or maybe I just saved it for later, but at a certain point, Mark came to me. He's like, I'm thinking about hiring a video editor. Do you know anybody? I was like, This guy emailed me a little while ago, like, I'll pass on his contact information. You can see if you can work something out with him. And I think you actually started working with Mark before me, right?
Yeah.
I did a couple videos for him. And then I was talking to Mark. He was like, oh, this guy's really good. He does nice, good work. And I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I think I had a sponsorship at the time. I think I got paid a couple $1,000 for like 4 YouTube videos, and I was like, okay, I'll just plow all that money into hiring Bryson to edit them and see how it goes.
Yeah, that was it was pretty funny. Yeah, I emailed you after I saw the desk build that you did, the computer and the desk, and I was like, I was kind of like into that idea. I was like, maybe I'll build my own computer and a desk, and I didn't really end up doing that, but I was like, what? Shot in the dark. I haven't, like, Zach was one of my first people that I really worked for consistently. Like, shot in the dark. I'm going to email him, thinking at the time, probably won't hear back, but it's worth a shot, right? And you did answer. And you were like, I'll keep you in mind. And then a few months went by, and then I got Mark. And we worked on a Toyota ad, I believe, for a truck.
Oh, that was, what it was. Yeah. I remember seeing that video and being like, okay, that is a well-edited piece of content. Mm. So I was like, okay,
there's no way Mark could have done that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but it's kind of true, like, you know, and not to disparage Mark or anything like that, but I just remember seeing that video and I was like, damn, that is like really, it was like a step up from what his normal content was. I was like, oh yeah, I want that for me.
Yeah, it's different when you have multiple people too, right? Like he would not be able to do that alone. Doing like a truck thing and be all on tripod, that wouldn't work as well, right?
I did that same ad. Yeah. I did it alone, and it was a nightmare. I hated every second of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can you imagine setting a tripod? Be like, all right, drive around this corner. Okay, now I got to get out of the truck, but it's like a busy street, and then like people are honking at me, and like, oh my gosh, like what if somebody steals my camera when I go drive like 100 yards down the street? Like, this you got like a $5,000 camera just sitting on a tripod with nobody around. Somebody's like, cool, I'll take this, right?
That's exactly what I did. Horrible.
Gotta be risky with the camera. I remember I was driving, and I think Nick at the time, he was there at the shoot with us. He was sticking his whole torso out the car and getting a shot, holding his like the expensive camera out the car, getting a shot of the truck. And you got to do that sometimes, right?
Right.
Yeah, totally. Gotta risk it. With a shot.
Have you guys ever had any times where you're out like filming something and you have a catastrophic failure, like? You like drop the camera, ruin like a $5,000 lens, or like cracked your body or something like that?
We haven't really had any gear mishaps too much.
Yeah,
we had like technical issues, like on the most recent wedding that we shot during the ceremony. We have I think we had 3 Canon R6s going, and it was a hotter day than expected, and they were all starting to overheat at different times. Luckily, we got what we needed out of it, because when one camera overheated, the other one would have cooled down in time. So you're like kind of rotating.
Oh, who was recording. I never even thought about that.
So stressful. It was definitely, and I missed the kiss, which I was like, I thought I had like one of the better angles for it. So we didn't end up getting that angle of that, but that can be pretty stressful. So I think Sean invested in a external recorder to take a little bit of the load off the camera.
So you should have told them just buy a Sony. They don't overheat.
Yeah, that's right. I was shooting on Canon, being a Sony guy myself. Like, I like both, but it's a bit difficult juggling the settings when you're used to one and then you go to the other, right? But,
or just knowing how the menus work. You're like, I flopped through this menu. Like, I've got a Panasonic GH5. Mm. I don't love it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It was, I knew nothing about cameras. I was like, I know somebody else has this, and I bought it like 3 years ago. Autofocus is trash.
Yeah.
About the only thing that camera has going for it is that it has dual SD card slots on it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's about it.
It shoots a nice image. It's a good looking camera, but yeah, I don't know how you film all your videos without decent autofocus.
Everything is manual focus.
Everything's manual, A-roll talking to the camera. So do you just make sure that you don't like walk forward or back when you're recording?
Everything. It sucks. I hate it.
So it makes you pay attention a bit more, which is kind of nice. Like, I know with Zach's footage, sometimes like your hand will go in the shot for a bit and it focuses on your hand.
That's true.
And that definitely does. You're so into the work that you're not noticing, right? And stuff like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen too often, but that way at least you're like always knowing where you're focused and everything, right?
Honestly, even if I had a camera that had autofocus, like good autofocus, I don't think I would use it, because I'm so used to, you know, setting up a shot on the tripod, then like, you know, pressing my finger on where I want it to focus and then locking it there, and like because I'm setting up a shot for a specific focal point. Because I don't have somebody working with me carrying the camera, like making dynamic shots. If I did, I absolutely would want autofocus.
Yeah, I think Bryson actually brings up a good point, and I think it's probably a good lesson to listeners. you shouldn't really use autofocus unless you need it. So I think the way you do things, Eric, is right for, you know, the majority of things. It's like set your focus, do the task, and then move the camera. Because a lot of time, you do, like, your hand goes in front of the camera for a second, it tracks onto your hand, and then it has a hard time finding what it was focused on originally. So unless you're, you know, talking to the camera, moving around a little bit as you do it, there's not really much reason to have the autofocus engaged.
Right. So Bryson, as woodworkers, you know, makers, contractors, inherently, we know nothing about video editing. We just fumble and stumble our way through it. What are, like, can you think of like a couple tips that, like, if you do this, this will really help your videos or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me think about that. There's white balance is one of the big ones I can think of. Yeah. A lot of people just throw it on automatic. I do that a lot of the time myself. But if you're shooting like in the same area, if you white balance on an actual like sheet of white paper or something, then all the shots will be consistent, which means if you want to color it later, you just throw what you want done over pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have auto white balance on between the shots, it could change. It could think that the temperature is different. So you can't put the same like color effects and stuff on each shot as much.
So what that basically does, so explain like what is white balance to somebody who knows nothing?
Yeah. White balance is it's like the color temperature, I guess, is what people base it off of, but it's basically like how warm and cool the lighting looks in a shot, and you want your whites to be white in the shot, right?
Right.
So yeah, you'll set the camera to make sure that, like, say the sunlight is a different color temperature than the orange light that I have in here. Sunlight is white. A lot of people think it's orange, you know, it's white. It's just because of the atmosphere, depending what time of day it is. If it's golden hour, like sunset, it's going to be a lot different looking than if the sun's directly above you, right? So you got to make sure your camera matches that color, that look. Make sure your whites are white and you're not. Here's a good example. As I shot, or I edited, sorry, a video where the cameraman wasn't super great at camera. He didn't know the settings very well, and it was a pool that he was shooting at, and because he didn't white balance, it looked like everybody was swimming around in like urine. So I had to, in the computer, you can bring that back to a degree, depending on the camera you're using, but sometimes it's too far gone and it's just going to look, no matter what you do, just terrible, right?
So it's just super warm. And did everybody's skin look like bright red too?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that look pretty rough.
And you can sometimes notice somebody if they, you know, have auto white balance on and like a dynamic shot, you'll start to notice the colors just randomly change in a shot.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, what's going on? That's the camera trying to take in all of the light it sees in the sensor. And it doesn't always look perfect.
Well, things change. Like if you're standing in front of a window, you're getting bathed in like very white light from the sun. And then you might start walking towards an incandescent light inside that's more yellow. And your camera will try to compensate as the subject moves through the frame and goes to different lighting sources. And then if you try and cut between those two clips, you'll end up with this really jarring color change. You're like, oh, you know, if you have a good camera, it's like that it can handle the transition pretty smoothly if it's one continuous clip. But if you're cutting bits, it's going to look pretty jarring.
So white balance, you said, is like one of the big tips you'd give. You have any other ones that you'd suggest for people?
It's hard because I think about it so much when I'm like in the moment thinking about it now.
One thing you said to me at one point was that you liked that I used a remote when I was filming.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time I'll like remotely trigger my camera with like, you know, like a channel change or whatever for your TV. I can use that to stop and start recording.
Yeah, and that cuts down a lot of the footage that you have too, right? Time that it takes to walk to the camera and everything.
Exactly, because what do most people do? They press record, then they walk to where they want to talk, then they say what they want to say, then they walk back to the camera and they cut it. So a lot of the time you end up having to cut the bookends on either side of that clip. Whereas if you just have the remote there, you can like save a lot of footage. And
yeah,
every second of footage has to be watched at some point during the editing process.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I look at everything that you shoot. All yeah. of the 7 hours of footage, I watch it before
you
I...
Poor bastard.
Yeah. It's not too bad. I enjoy this stuff. Like, I enjoy what you guys do, and like I like watching what other people don't usually get to see, which is nice too.
Right.
I get to see yeah. the little like hiccups and stuff, and like
where you go pick up stuff. Your drill and you drop it on the floor and damn it. you fumble 40 times to try to get that like the screwdriver in some place
yeah.
or whatnot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's so many of those for me.
Yeah.
Is there a certain genre of things, and you don't have to throw anybody under the bus, that like you shoot and you're like, oh man, if I have to edit or shoot one more of I don't know, a cooking video, I can't do it anymore? Or do you just like not take on those clients anymore if something is horribly boring to you?
Well, it's hard right now with because the business that we have hasn't really like taken off too far. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of taking what we can get,
right.
whatever companies come to us. So I've done some pretty boring stuff for sure. You just kind of got to put yourself in the right mindset. Like, I like to think right. I'm pretty good at doing tedious stuff. The one guy that's probably the farthest from editing in our group, he can't handle that. He doesn't right. like, he'll lose his mind if he's stuck at a computer looking at hours of footage and stuff, especially if it's not that entertaining. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Like we do ones where it's like construction, but more so like selling tractors or something, right?
Okay.
So we just got like tons of footage of people driving tractors and stuff, right? Like something like that. Like you got to find the best shots of tractor.
You know? Yeah, but your job there is like, okay, here's everything. Now the fun is like making a compelling, interesting.
Yeah.
Video that speaks the message of what they're trying to get across, right?
Yeah, it's all about what they want. It's not about what you like. That's yeah. the big thing. That's the nice thing yeah. again with Zach and Mark is they give me a lot of like freedom to do what I want, which is great. But if they don't like the music that I've cut everything to for the more brand style stuff,
right?
They're like, change the music. That could be hours more work, right?
Right.
Yeah,
because if
yeah,
everything's true. Timed to that specific beat. Or yeah. a track, that's so much of my time. I'm like, oh my God. And usually we only give people like a couple revisions. So
right.
if that happens, yeah. it can only happen, you know, like a couple times. But
but it's yeah. a lot of work. Like, yeah. especially yeah. if you know, they give you certain parameters, like, hey, I want to do this, 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 and this. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh man, I'm locked in. I really enjoy this because
yeah.
what you're doing is art. And you could get locked into something and be like, I really like how this turned out, how it yeah. came out. And then your client says, no.
Like, yeah, we did.
That's hard.
It was me and Mark, actually. We did a video. I won't say the brand, I guess, but we did a video a while back. And me and him were like, oh, that looks so sweet. Like, we had it lit super crazy and it looked super cinematic. And then the brand came back and they were like, that looks too overproduced, like it looks too for social media, which
right.
I there's two sides of it. For one, I think the video is done, it's sick, just post it, you know what I mean? Because we had to make a whole new one, but
right,
I think their mindset was in the headspace of like people usually skip ads online, right? So
true.
If they
yeah.
see something that looks like
an
a
ad.
Very well produced ad, they're gonna skip yes. it right away. But if it looks more like, you know, me or you would have done it on our phones or something, people might
right.
watch it longer, right? They mm-hmm. get hooked into that stuff a bit more nowadays. So
that makes sense, though. I mean,
yeah,
especially with the onset of like TikTok and all this other garbage media that's coming out, like
yeah.
it's this video filmed on with like a potato with these horrible like yeah. random text box slapped on top of it, but they get millions and millions and millions of views. But if you go through all this work to like shoot something really nice, edit it really nicely, somebody's
yeah,
like
yeah.
this is weird, like I'm not right. used to seeing this,
yeah,
so they
yeah.
they might just assume it's not the content that they want to watch, right?
Yeah,
which is probably really challenging.
Yeah,
yeah, it's,
well,
it's
do you ever struggle with that, Bryson? Like, do you ever want to, I think for generally for YouTube, like we try and put our best foot forward, like mm-hmm. you know, we try and make the videos look nice and look well produced, but when it comes to other social media stuff, like, I'm kind of coming back around to this kind of raw take on things. Like, sometimes you don't want things to look overproduced and shot as well as possible. Yeah. So, yeah. Do you ever struggle with that? I mean, outside that instance with Mark, has that ever been an issue for you?
Well, I think it's like with almost every project, again, with like the client work, it's what they like, right?
Yes,
yeah, it's something like they come back like sticking my head out the window, like, we really like that for that yeah. one ad. It's something that you can't fight with them on most of the time, and you're like, oh, that mm-hmm. that's something I want to show for like my portfolio, and then it ends up getting taken out and stuff, right? So it's kind of like always around in some aspect, right? But
yeah,
you know, something you just gotta deal with.
Yeah. Is it ever like, I don't know, is it ever painful for you? Like, you're almost like, it's almost like asking like a black belt karate master to perform at a blue belt level, right? Because you went to film school, like, you want yeah. to create like proper films. But the way mm-hmm. social media is trending right now, it's more towards this like uncut, raw amateur look. So do you ever yeah. struggle with those two?
Kind of. We're in this weird thing where it's the most accessible it's ever been to make content, mm-hmm. right? And me and my buddies there, we are filmmakers. We want to make films, movies, right? Like more scripted content. But that's not really where things move. It's really hard to do that. So we're falling into this making content online, which, again, the production value, you kind of have to like gauge what's worth doing and stuff, right? Especially mm-hmm. trying to make it into a career.
Yeah.
So yeah, all we want to do, like we were just talking about, let's make like a Star Wars film or something, right? But it's just like, how do we do that and then not think about making money somehow somewhere else, right? And stuff like that. Yeah. It all comes down to money at the end of the day, right? Right. So, you know. Yeah.
It's hard because, I mean,
yeah.
Like, I'm sure I've got to imagine making a movie is, like you said, it was your ultimate goal, right? Some, you yeah, know, yeah. hour and a half, 2 hour long content. But then like a step below that is probably like, you know, maybe a long form YouTube video where it's like you mm-hmm. can kind of get that excitement of what you're going yeah. for, create a story, yeah. tell something. But then on the very opposite end, if I'm like, hey, Bryson, I need a 15-second reel for Instagram, yeah. you're like, oh, right? It's probably not as exciting.
Well, it's not too bad either, because when it's 15 seconds, there's only so much you can do. It doesn't usually take too long to put together, right? So it's like, right. quickly true. Spend a little bit of time, put it together, and then you move on, right? So
true.
It's not too bad. What we tend to want to do is short films more so.
Okay.
Because you get to tell a story, but you're not stuck on one thing for too long at the same time, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how much goes into just like a 10-minute film too. Like, it's
crazy. Like,
yeah, it's gnarly. Like, I've done two short films and they were both in college. It's been a while since I've done anything, but it was very stressful. Like, I couldn't tell you what happened on the days half the time because I'm like so in it. I'm like, what happened? Like, blinking, it's over, right? But yeah, no, it's all about who's around you for that kind of thing too. Like, we only had 2 days for both films, and it's like, if you have the right crew, it's fun yeah. and easy and everything, right?
It's yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know if it exists as much in the US as it does in Canada, but it's very big for people to make short films. Like, my brother-in-law is an actor, and he's made a couple short films. I have my friends yeah. who work in a special effects studio, and what they do a lot of the time on the weekend is they write and produce short films.
Yeah.
And then, you know, shop them around to different like film festivals and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's its own little industry. It's kind of like, it's the come up for filmmakers, right?
Yeah. I think it was Maze Runner, the guy who directed it. He was super young at the time. Like, he was like 21 or something, the guy who directed that.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
And it's all because I think it was 3D animated, but he had posted a short film on YouTube. And
cool.
And people liked the vibe of it. They were like, this guy could probably handle this film. So they just gave it to him and it took off. And it was
wow,
like, awesome, right?
Huh. So, imagine yeah. going from like you made this really cool viral YouTube video to somebody being like, okay, we want you to direct our feature.
It's crazy. But the internet has such an impact. Like, look at Deadpool. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, true. Very true. Yeah.
Now, be honest. Do you ever get... is it exciting or frustrating? Like, let's say you helped Zach edit a video and it got, you know, 10 million views or something like that. Is it like, man, I kind of wish like my name was on that, because like I had a lot of artistic creativity in that. Or is it more of like, I'm really happy to see that our company was able to help our clients out like that. And like, you be honest, like if you want to throw Zach on the bus, that's fine.
No, I think it's like, I do have the time to build my own brand and stuff if I wanted to. And like, we are building Unbound, right? But as my like own solo YouTube channel, like I do enough stuff that I could make my own projects. But I do like assisting people a lot with their projects. And it's kind of nice because I get to dive into a different like world that I'm not used to, right? Like, I do enjoy woodworking and stuff. I don't have the resources to do it as much, but I like learning about it. So the fact that I get to edit and learn,
right?
It doesn't even have to be woodworking. It could be anything, right? Like, I could learn a lot. Like, people who do documentaries, the editors probably learn a crazy amount about the world and everything, right? So I guess it depends where your head's at. Like, I'm looking at the benefits of like the knowledge side, I guess, but I see what you mean. It's like, people aren't going to think of me ever most of the time, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, be honest, it's, as like a casual YouTube viewer, I go on or whatever, I watch one of Zach's videos. I'm like, man, he made a really cool thing. I'm not thinking about, did he edit this? Did he film it? Or did he have a company do that? Like, honestly, it kind of sucks that
I don't mind. I'm a pretty introverted dude.
Okay.
Yeah. So if it's people I know in person, and they talk about it and I'm like, yeah, I did that. I edited that. Like, that's cool. I don't mind other editors around the world or whatever. If they see it, they might, you know, show me some respect in that way, but I don't mind being behind the scenes. I think it's nice. Like, I'm always the type of guy, it's like, I'd like to be rich, but not famous.
That makes sense.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
Yeah.
Is there, can we brainstorm like a better way to do it right now? Cause like, I've always been open to like on screen credits or something like that. I don't know. Like, what's a good way? How could you alleviate that issue?
I've had funny ideas that we could, we could do, but like, I like the way we're doing it. Just like a link in the, in the description, but I've had funny ideas where it's like, you say something referring to me in the video while you're talking to the camera, and then I set up shot while I'm editing, and I like look back at the camera and answer you.
See, I like that. That would be fun. We could
do stuff like that. That's the fun part about YouTube, is you just get to like have fun with it too, right? So
A lot of the time I will actually include notes to Bryson in the actual footage. I'll say, okay, Bryson, after I'm done this like talking bit, let's transition to this clip where I'm like cutting the thing over here.
Which helps stuff a ton. Like, I love that stuff.
Or you could like drop something and you'd be like, oh, Bryson, make sure you edit that out when you edit this video. Like, people, I think that app, like, that's funny, but also people are like, oh, there is somebody behind the scenes helping them.
For sure. I think I've introduced Bryson as like a character in a couple videos.
Yep.
Like the one where I made the skateboard one for you, for sure. I'm trying to think. I guess he didn't really come up in the Christmas special one where we went to the parking lot.
Nope. I wasn't in it. No, not really.
Yeah. But
again, like, I don't mind that.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Are you guys going to do that again? How was that experience?
I liked it.
I don't know. It was very draining. I was done at the end of that day. I thought it would be more exciting, but it was like, it was cold. It was, you know, it was a long day.
Yeah, we were sitting there waiting. We didn't want to go up to just like anybody, right? Because we don't know who they're, like, if they're going to use the tools. We were looking for people who like had supplies, looked like they were about a big project, right? Like, maybe you can use this tool for the project. So there was a lot less of those people than expected, I think. That was the big thing. We were just sitting and waiting for a while, like, to find the right people, right? That look like they would use it well.
I was like, for sure, all day, we're just going to see people bringing out, you know, carts full of plywood, carts full of 2x4s, bunch of drywall, and I would just give them the tools based on what was on their cart. We sat there all day, and there was like five people came out all day with like carts full of stuff. So it was a little harder than we thought. I think it was a Saturday, so that kind of had something to do with it. It was like kind of like midday on a Saturday. I think we got there at like 10 a.m. or something. So it, my part, not great planning.
All the dads the already workers. Left.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was, that was kind of what I was hoping for, the weekend warriors versus the like, you know, full on pros.
Right. I think this year what you need to try to do is get DeWalt and whomever else to give you a boatload of tools and like kind of hook you up with some sort of like high school or something in the area and like go to like a wood shop class and like, I know that would be challenging to film because you need so many release forms of kids under 18 and whatnot.
Yeah, that's the hard part for sure.
Right.
Well, Bryson and I actually just finished filming a video. It was a brand partnership where I made this bench for a local high school. And I made a set of plans and everything. So I'm in contact with the shop teacher at that school. So I have actually kind of thought about doing something along the lines there. I think they'd probably be open to it.
Yeah.
I'm totally in for it. So I think he changed his name on the YouTube stream. That's Luke's comment, right? If they asked me, I could. Okay. Luke's got a comment or a question. He says, do you guys ever change the vision of a video based on the edit? So like, do you have vision one, film everything, you go start editing it, and you're like, actually, I think it should really be vision two.
It definitely changes for sure.
It definitely changes. Like, I think a lot of the editing process is you go and you film a bunch of stuff and then you lay it all out. And there is kind of like a, like, how can we take all this footage and create a coherent narrative with it? Right. Like, you have a little bit of a plan, but you're always kind of adapting on the fly a little bit, right?
Yeah, and not everything makes it into a cut. Like, Zach will script out a lot of his stuff, and obviously you got to play it by ear a little bit when you're building stuff, because not everything can go right. In the edit, if, like, a video that we wanted to be 20 minutes ends up being, like, 30 minutes, then we're like, okay, a lot of this is good stuff. What's the least of... like least worthy of keeping in of the good stuff. So sometimes we have to like cut stuff that we like. Right. So,
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it's, you know, it's an efficiency game too. A lot of the time, like I'll sit there and I'll like make a little script about what I want to say in a certain part of the video. And I'll accidentally say something that I said earlier in the video. It's like, okay, well you cut that. Right. Or cut the one before. And cause it works a little bit better later in the video. So there's a lot of give and take with stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people who say when it comes to, I guess this is more of like filmmaking, but they say you write a film.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it's two or three times, but you write it. Yeah, you write it three times. That's what it was. Once when you're actually writing it. The second time is when you're filming it. The third time is in the edit. So it's like it's always changing. Yeah. Everything is up in the air. For the most part.
Now, Zach, do you find it easier to have Bryson working with you and like just, you know, like in that example, you have a 30-minute video, you need to cut it down to 20. Is it easier to have him be like, hey, we're going to get rid of this, and this part, as opposed to you, because like you were more involved in filming all of that? And you're like, but like, do you treat your film or footage more like a baby than Bryson does?
No, I think the opposite. I think Bryson's actually a little bit more hesitant to cut stuff than I am. Like, I don't know if that's more of like, you just don't want to piss me off or something like that. Like, you don't want to annoy me by cutting out a section of the video that's boring.
I think that's the nice part about the setup that we have with the server. Because if you weren't able to hop in, I would take a lot more liberties, but I cut it down with what I have. I'm like, here's like a full rough cut. It is pretty long. So look through it, see if there's like what you think you as the person in the video and your channel and everything you would want to keep. And then either you can take it out yourself or just let me know and I'll take it out and make it work. Right. But it comes down to like, it's his baby. You know what I mean? Like, his channel is his baby. I'm just like babysitting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be offended if you took a more active role in like chopping out the boring bits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have any videos, Zach.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But
be like the Green Sewers podcast, worst podcast available on all streaming platforms. We have an ongoing joke with them. They're our good friends that run another podcast, and we just constantly talk trash about them, and they do the same thing to us. But it's funny. Awesome. Our viewership and theirs has actually gone up since we started doing that.
That's good. So
they're like, we'll keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Why not, right?
So Luke's got another question. He goes, I know that they have to work together, but is it the edit that makes the video or the idea and the creator?
I'm not sure I completely understand the question. So, I mean, I think I definitely go into every video with a vision of kind of like how I want it to look. But then, like, I think Bryson adds a lot to it. Like, he finds jokes in stuff that I didn't even know were jokes, or moments. Like, he has this eye for, because I was there and I filmed something, it's like a little bit, it's kind of been there, done that. But then he sees it with fresh eyes. He's like, oh, that's a funny moment. I'm going to isolate this and I'm going to make it like a little gag in the video. Yeah. I have no eye for that because I'm like, oh, that's a little screw up that I made. And who cares? Let's just cut this out and move on. Right. So I think it's actually kind of beneficial that like I have this vision and then he comes in almost as an outsider and adds his flavor to it.
That makes sense. I mean, I think what Luke's kind of getting at is like, if you have trash input, like basically all the footage and there's no story, that's just trash. And then you, Bryson, you receive that trash input. It's really hard for you to make something compelling. Now, could you make it a little bit better? Maybe. But you need to have good input and able to get good output, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, I can take whatever footage I get and probably turn it into something, you know, a little better than even what I would have expected seeing some of the footage. And, and what some projects I have worked on have been like that, especially that one white balance one. that one was pretty rough, but in terms of like Zach's videos, like he always has a script. Like I can see in the shared folders, there's the script. He hasn't shot anything yet. And sometimes I'll take a look and some videos it's very planned out. And some videos it's like, here's the rough idea. Cause you never know how the build's going to go. Right.
Yeah.
So I would say like for your videos, sorry, it's more planned and executed in your like workflow and filming and everything. And I just kind of like piece it together and make it work in that way. So
I think the nice thing about my videos too, is that it's like you said earlier, like they're usually chronological, right? You start with the intro, which is like the premise. And I kind of say everything that I'm going to do in the video, in the intro, and then you do it. And then there's the outro. Right. So there's like we have like a pretty good structure. It's pretty rare that I'm just dumping a bunch of footage on Bryce and I'm like, hey, you know, craft this into coherent narrative.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Yeah. And usually when I give him, I'll give him the footage, I put the clips into different folders. So there'll be like the intro folder. Then there's day one of the project, day two of the project, day three of the project. Yeah. The outro folder. So it's already kind of like there's a loose structure there already too.
Yeah. Organization is probably more important than like almost half of the other stuff. Like if you're not organized, then it's going to take a lot longer. You know?
Do you communicate your vision with him, Zach, through like notes, or do you guys have like a video conference at the beginning?
No, we're pretty loosey goosey with it. Like a lot of time I have a folder that's labeled scripts in every video project. And sometimes in there, there'll be like an outline or like with just like bullet points of like how I think the project's going to go. But a lot of time it's honestly just like a kind of an intro and an outro. And then we chat on Discord as the edit progresses. I'll usually say like, hey Bryson, all the footage is up. Like if you want to like, download it all. And then he usually cuts out all the bits that are unusable.
right,
and gives me like a nice organized project file. And then I go in and I start doing voiceovers, and then we kind of tighten it up from there. So we kind of have an established process where it's more or less on autopilot. Like we don't need to communicate a whole lot throughout in order to get it done.
Yeah, a quick text will usually get the job done. And if it's something bigger, then we'll hop on a call quick. And it's nice with Discord because I can stream the edit, or he could stream the edit. He's like, here's what I was thinking here. And then he shows me visually, and then and then we can move on. But usually, like, we haven't had many cases of that, honestly.
Yeah, so. Usually when we chat on the phone, it's for, like, you know, bigger vision things. We're like, okay, are the next, like, three or four projects out and stuff like that. But it's not the mundane nuts and bolts of it.
But you do have some back and forth, like, hey, I started this, check it out. Okay, now Zach did this part. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think my biggest fear before I talked to Zach about, like, you know, having a video editor, my thought was, like, I literally go film this entire video. Mm-hmm. And then I just, like, wait to see what comes back from you. And, like, for me, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like,
I think I had that same fear, too. I think I worried about the same thing too. And it was really only the setting up the server. I remember talking to the first time I talked to Bryson, and I was like, if he doesn't use Adobe Premiere and he doesn't have like access to this, like some sort of shared folder with me, I was like, I don't think there's any way that I can conceivably see this thing working. Cause I knew myself, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to give a person every single thing they need right at the start of a project in order to complete the edit.
Right.
Yeah.
Or have to mail them a hard drive for like,
meet him at
the grocery store parking lot.
Yeah. And like Bryson lives close, but he's like an hour and a half away by car.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was thinking like, am I going to meet up with this guy like once every couple weeks and give him a hard drive full of footage? Like, how's that going to work? So I think figuring out the workflow was actually a big part of making the whole like partnership work.
Yeah. When you're so involved, especially, right? Like Mark, we do most of it over Google Drive, or when I shoot with him, he'll be like, here's a hard drive, or we transfer footage. So it's a bit more, you know, of a process with him.
Yeah.
And like you said, you can't see, like, he can't see what I'm doing until I export and send him a cut. Because we don't have that, you know what I mean? We don't have the shared folder that we can both access. So,
because so that's it, real. Like that's a financial investment. Buying a network connected server.
Oh yeah,
is not just you don't just like go to Best Buy and just like grab one off the shelf. Like you have to.
Yeah.
Well, can you actually buy a fully? You can't, right?
I think they have small ones. I think Western Digital has like basic ones that you can get. His is definitely more intense and it's not cheap too. Like you think about how much a hard drive is. If you want like a ton of storage, it's like at least $1,000 if you want to get like terabytes and terabytes.
Right.
I'm trying to think, it was some brand partner, you know, like building my the content business has been like one brand partnership to the next. It's okay, especially early on, it's like, okay, I did this one, I got $1,000 for doing this, I'm gonna go to, you know, the proverbial Best Buy and buy myself a NAS or a bunch of hard drives so that I can like remote in a video editor.
Go ahead, Derek.
Oh, I was gonna say, you guys were talking about sharing on a server. I thought you were sharing through Adobe Premiere, sharing the project and working in the collaborative aspect of it. I didn't realize you were on a networked server or anything.
Yeah.
So that's a relatively new thing that Adobe has, right? Where you can collaboratively edit. We basically just have a folder on both our computers, and when Bryson hits save on his computer, it automatically transfers to mine. And I run that through like a little box that I have in a cupboard.
Yeah.
So how does that new Creative Cloud like collaborative thing work? Is that something you're looking to explore, or you're like, F that, I'm out?
I haven't looked into it at all, to be honest.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It makes sense to me. I mean,
I just know it's a thing. I haven't used it.
Yeah.
I can give it a shot, but.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. We should mess around with it a little bit, but I think as it is, like our system is pretty good.
I like what we're doing for sure. But it could be good for other stuff, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Great idea.
Do you run your server, Zach, through that Backblaze thing so it automatically does like the cloud backup as well?
No, I don't. I have a, it's the company's called Synology that makes my NAS.
Yeah, they have a cloud thing too.
They have a cloud thing too. I could probably actually pay them some monthly fee to back everything up, but I right now I there's like supposed to be like three levels of redundancy that you have for your data. There's like redundancy on site and then redundancy offsite. I don't know. I don't have the offsite one, but I have redundancy within the workflow. Like I have it on my computer, the server, and the memory cards on the camera at all times.
That makes sense. See, I would blow through the storage on my memory cards.
Yeah, I mean, it's you kind of. I have, I think, half a terabyte on each of my cameras.
I only have 256 gig cards on mine.
Yeah, so.
Man, those 512 cards got to be expensive if you have any decent speed on them.
That's right. Yeah, well, you know, one partnership at a time. It's like, you know.
But I mean, like, I think it's interesting to hear you say that. And you as well, Bryson, like, all of us are bootstrapping this stuff together. Like, you get one job. It helps you pay for an upgrade that makes your life easier. And, like, eventually you get to the point where the upgrade that you want to purchase is a video editor. Like,
Yeah, totally.
I think very few people are going to go and do their first YouTube video and be like, you know what, I'm hiring a video editor. Like, I don't think
not a lot
people have the money or the wherewithal to even fathom that, right?
We also live in a good time. It's like you can learn this stuff so easy.
True.
The only way I see that happening, you know, occasionally they'll stumble across a small YouTube creator and they'll be like, oh, I gave the files to my video editor and they have like 5,000 subscribers. You're like, how does that work? The only way I could see something like that working is where it was like a partnership, like from the start, you know, where you have one guy who's like, I like talking in front of the camera. One guy's like, I don't like talking in front of the camera that much.
Right.
You make it work that way.
Or they're dramatically undercharging, and it's like, wait, you're going to charge me $20 to edit a YouTube video? Sure. Right? Like, take that all day. Like, but I don't know. It's interesting. So let's say there's somebody that's excited. They're like, oh, man, I think getting a video editor could be interesting. Obviously, we would tell them to check you out at Unbound Vision. But
thank you.
So, like, how can somebody be, what am I trying to say? Like, make sure that the person they're hiring isn't a quack. Because I'm sure there are people that hawk themselves as being video editors that are trash. Like, are there any telltale signs that this person doesn't know what they're doing?
I think it all comes down to portfolio. And you can do, like, an interview, too. Like, make sure it's not, like, a weird dude that you're going to be working with, right?
But
most of the thing is portfolio. Like, what has this person done? Does he match my style? Stuff like that. So that's where I think Zach kind of took a little bit of a risk, because I didn't have too much in my portfolio other than like college stuff and all that. So that's really good. And then I think because he saw what I did with Mark too, he's like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. It's all about what have they done, which can, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, because you could be passing up people who are awesome, but they just haven't done a lot yet, right? So,
but it's kind of like a resume, right? If you're like, you know, where have you worked before? And you're like, I haven't worked anywhere. It's like, okay, well, I don't know if I necessarily want to hire you, because I can't see that you the work that you've done. But it's not unreasonable for me to be like, all right, Bryson, send me, you know, 10 projects that you've done that you really enjoyed and that you're proud of, and let me check those out. And then if I'm like, if I feel like those are compelling pieces of media, then I'd be like, this is probably a decent person to bet on, right?
Okay. It's good. You can also go, like, we talk about college, like my professors were super engaged, and they would tell us about people who reached out to them too. It's like, if you go to a professor of a school and say, hey, I'm looking for a video editor, if you know any recent graduates who are good, and you know what I mean, stuff like that, you could always find people fresh, right?
Makes sense. We have one last
question, Zach,
from Luke there. So Bryson, he wants to know, have you ever had anybody anyone that wanted an editor but didn't want to give up control or was overbearing during editing process?
Yeah, I think there's been brands and stuff, especially early on when I wasn't like as stiff about having just like two revisions, right?
Right. Yeah. So I've been burned by that.
Yeah, there could like so many different revisions people want, and like early on, you might not know. Like, I'm not getting paid enough for this to do that much, right? So
yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of for a video editor being overbearing. It's just like there's this GIF or GIF, however you want to say it, that I send to my friends sometimes. Yeah, I'm on the same page.
what did we land on?
GIF. I'm a GIF.
Oh, it's GIF. It's got to be GIF. Oh, GIF is peanut butter.
Yeah. If you say GIF, I'm going to strap you to a rocket and fire you into the sun.
You're going to get a Christmas GIF.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. That was good.
No, but it's it's just like an editor. He's sitting there and there's a guy over his shoulder. He's like, this way. And it's like one frame over. And then he's like, no, go back. And it's back again. And it's just like the little stuff that does not matter at all. The stuff that really annoys you. You're like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I making this change and re-exporting just for something tiny or stuff like that? It's most people I've worked with, it's pretty good. Like, they understand, especially nowadays, like I said, it's pretty easy to at least understand with YouTube and how much content creation has become part of society.
Right.
People understand kind of the process so that they're not too bad about it.
I think actually it helped me to be less picky, because when I was editing the videos myself, I would stress about that frame one way or the other.
Yeah.
And then when I kind of let go of that and then had Bryson do it, I would come in, I'd be like, yeah, this works, it's all great, like it all flows nicely, it's all like blah 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 blah, like I was less precious about those little details because I could just come in and see this finished video. I'm like, yeah, this video's sick, it works well.
Yeah.
Derek, you had a question?
So what were we talking about? The overbearing clients, yeah.
Yeah.
You were talking about the frame going back and forth and why am I doing this. Do you find that it's more so that the client actually thinks it should be that way, or that they just want to exert some control in the process?
Some people just like being involved, right? Like, they don't, you're like, I want to make a change, but I don't know how or what to say, right? It's like there's another video I saw. It's like a girl brings her drink back. She's like, there's not enough of syrup or something in it. Brings it back, doesn't do anything, stirs it, gives it back. She's like, that's better. It's like the exact same drink, you know what I mean? Some people just like to do that. And I don't think you just got to put up with it, right? Some people are just like that, but
That's funny.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I want to know, and we're getting close to the end, you're wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Money is not an object. It's just tomorrow, boom, you have all the money you need. You get to work on whatever you want. What like client or project or film would you want to start working on?
Oh man, that's,
and you know everybody. So if you want to get like Jennifer Aniston or you know,
that's a good. Okay, I'd definitely bring on Henry Cavill. I think he's awesome. Great actor, and he's a gamer too, which is just hilarious to me. He's like super. He almost missed the Superman call because he was playing like World of Warcraft or something. That's hilarious. I would want to do something action based. I think I've never worked with a stunt team. I would love to bring a stunt team in and like have them do crazy, like break through walls and like do flips and crazy stuff. That's where a Star Wars fan film would be freaking crazy to do, but.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know anyone who can even do like a backflip. So
no.
I don't know if you guys can. I can't.
So it'd be a full length film, like a 2 hour long film.
Yeah, I would love to do something longer form like that. I am not the greatest writer, so I definitely like, I would hand it off to people I know well. That's the thing. I like the crew and like people I know. So like I have one friend named Rowan. She's an amazing writer. So I'd be like, you're writing this film for me. You don't have a choice. Here's money, you know?
Right.
So I like having the people that I know work with me. Like, I don't know how many people I would bring in outside of that. I would like to have, like, my own crew.
Okay. You know?
Kind of like Christopher Nolan. He always works with the same people, right? He has those same actors. Even.
Yeah. Because, like, his films are always so tight. Like, you know what to expect when you're seeing one of his films, right?
Yeah, there's his cameraman in, I remember, I think it was Interstellar when they're on the water planet, if you guys have seen that. Yeah. That was shot on IMAX, and IMAX cameras are huge. And he had it on his shoulder. And it's crazy. You should look up a picture at some point. But yeah, he's a huge guy. And it's like, not many people could pull that off. You know what I mean? He's got to have that right crew. Talking. Yeah, I think it was the interstellar water scene. I think that's okay. The part.
How long do you imagine the Star Wars fan film? How long do you would imagine from like day one inception to like you release it? Are we talking like 2-3 years, you think?
Probably less than that, depending what we did. I wouldn't want to do anything like too crazy. I wouldn't want to put that much effort in. It would be fun to maybe do like a fight scene, something small, 5 minutes maybe.
Okay.
Because I'd rather put that time into something original. You know what I mean? So for something like that, we could probably write something within a week, as long as we have the right choreography and like people to act in it. We could shoot it in a day or two probably, and then it comes down to like however long we want to take to edit, right? Okay. Whether there's a ton of effects or something, that could take like a week, it could take like 5 months, you know what I mean?
So not a lot of political discord and
yeah,
Senate hearings in your Star Wars?
No, nothing like that. No,
you don't want to work at C-SPAN? Do you guys have C-SPAN in Canada?
No,
I'm not sure what that is.
It's like the. So. It's like literally, Derek. How would you describe it? Like they.
It's a live feed of the Congress.
I think. Oh yeah. C-SPAN stands for Congress. Yeah. Right.
You just hear like political hearings all day. And no, it's got to be the most, it's one camera angle for hours and hours and hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Can be a bit intense. Yeah, I don't know if I would ever, I don't even know how you start to write something like that. Like my brain would shut off so quick. Oh, it'd be rough. But that's why, like I said, I would get my friend who's really good at that stuff. I'd be like, yeah, here you go. Here's money.
Sure. Oh, that's funny. Well, we're at an hour. Brayson, it's been a blast having you on. And if you don't mind, we're going to do a little after show after this, slide in over there. But for all the people who aren't going to be in the after show, tell them where they can find out more about you and potentially hire you in the future if they're interested.
Yeah. So the main thing that we're focusing on right now is Unbound Vision, our company. You can find us on YouTube, Unbound Vision, our website, unboundvision.ca. We're going to be focusing a lot on like weddings, but we also do a lot of fun photography and like cool YouTube videos, and we're not focusing as much on like the wedding stuff on YouTube as much. So that'll be where you see more of our personalities come out, I think.
That makes sense. Zach, you got anything else?
No, I mean, just, thank you for spending a little bit of time with us, being on the podcast. Hopefully the people at home found this informative and useful, and thanks for coming out. Thanks and thanks for being such a good editor.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for being good at filming. Being organized.
Oh, he's kissing my ass now. He's lying.
Oh, so cute.
All right, let's wrap this thing up.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening. We will catch you over the after show. And if not, we will catch you next week.
See ya.
See ya. That was a really awkward pause, but we'll cut it there.
No, we're including all of this.
All right.